for LCF. Well, I didn't send it in by PayPal. Last year I sent it in the old-fashioned way in the post office box. Obviously, someone didn't check it often enough. They didn't. And I had, like I said, let Nathan know about it, but I guess 2 or 3 months into last year, and somebody finally checked, then it was gotten. So, and you can send it to ki4lzi@aol.com, but I don't have a printer. So, I really couldn't. You got to remember, you got a lot of experience on me when it comes to this computer stuff. So I don't have a printer, and when it comes to emails, I can read them, but as far as sending them out, I'm not that good.
Well, we'll figure out a way. We'll make it work one way or another, Andy. We'll figure out a way to get you yours with your signature on it. Might see you somewhere at some point in time and just get you to sign something, and I'll just scan it. The software is really flexible. You can put a signature card in the same directory as the folder where the pictures are, and that's another thing. You want your ID. If you've got an ID that you want to use, or if you want to take a selfie and send it to me, that works too. But whatever you want for a picture for the ID, you can send that to me as well, or anybody can do that. But I'll work with you, and I'm probably going to see you somewhere. I'm thinking, I mean, people have been talking about doing mini field days and that kind of stuff, like we used to do back in the early 2000s, and getting back into that same kind of a groove, Andy. I'm looking forward to it, getting things moving again after COVID. COVID kind of hit us pretty hard, but we're going to get over it, and we're going to overcome.
Missed out about the mini field day stuff. Has anybody ever, because after last year, this is another thing, you know, I understand Johnny had issues and all, but him waiting to the last month before it was supposed to end and telling everybody, that was kind of blew a lot of things out of water, because I'd been out promoting the Ham Fest with all kinds of people over here, then at the last month, just before he cancels it. Do you have any idea if it's actually going to be the first Saturday in May this year? Do you have any chance of knowing?
No, because he has been out for the last two meetings, I think. We almost lost our club president to respiratory problems. We came close to losing him altogether. And some of the others had some issues as well at the same time. So we're really recovering from that, Andy. So, no, I don't have any idea. I mean, I haven't heard a word about that, honestly. We're just getting standing back up on our feet again. We'll get it. We'll get that address. There are some other silent keys that need some help. We're helping them out first. So those are the priority at this point in time, helping the families out with silent keys. You know, we've had a lot of those lately. So we're working with Gene to get some storage space for that stuff. We're going to be working with Gary to get that stuff on the swap net to help out the silent keys spouse. And, you know, that is the most important pressing thing at the moment. The other things, they will come in time, but that'll be when we get some legs back underneath of us and we get going again.
Is that Ray stuff that he donated to the club?
No, this is another silent key who is 100 years old. He was 100 years plus 6 months, and he was like a sound engineer or something like that. He was really, I mean, he did this for a living. And he had all kind of experiments. He was a really, really sharp guy. He lived in Hawaii most of the time. He lived in California for a large part of the time. But he retired here on the East Coast over in Easley. And so he's a really good ham radio operator. And his daughters, I think there was five of them altogether, and his wife, I think they're needing as much help as possible. And then there's some others like AK and Robert. Right, so we've had just a lot of a rash of problems. At the same time, we were dealing with problems, having the same kind of problems as the officers of the club. So it kind of knocked the wind out of our sails, but we're going to get it back.
You mean that was, AA4RM's, estate?
He's one of four different estates that have recently surfaced that the club is helping them out.
Yeah, I thought it was just one, but you're right, there's been a number of people, for sure. Years ago, a member of the Anderson Club, W4IPX, used to go around doing that. I'm glad to see someone here in the Briars Club's doing that. That's a good idea, and you're right, there's been a number of them. Well, you answered my questions there. Back to you, KI4LCI.
All right, Andy, and you usually have really good questions, too, because you have questions that everybody's curious about. So just want to make sure you understand. We appreciate it when you do that. You think you're a thinker, all right? And so appreciate you bringing that up so that everybody's curiosity can be answered. Any other stations all the way through the alphabet that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW. Okay, have I missed anyone for comments? Have I missed any check-ins? Call W4DJW. All right, be sure and stop back by tomorrow night where KI4DOS Gary will be running the Blue Ridge 2-meter net along with the Wednesday night swap net. You'll enjoy that, and I'm sure Gary will enjoy your participation in the swap net. Please stand by for my net report. Okay, this is W4DJW now securing the Blue Ridge 2-meter net with our thanks for checking in. We'll now return the repeater back to normal amateur use. 73s and good night.
W4JBQ, KO4NUE.
JBQ here. Hello again, Chad.
All right, you ready to dig in?
Yeah, I got my shovel in my hand.
So you might have to help me shovel a lot at first. But when you show me how, just gonna be a different story. But until then, you get some gloves on. All right, so my first question is, it's 50 ohms. The radio's looking for 50 ohms impedance. Let's say the transmission line is 50 ohms. Does the length of coax from the radio to the antenna, does the impedance change by the length?
Technically, no. The impedance doesn't change. A 50-ohm piece of coax is 50 ohms at 1 foot or 100 foot. But the efficiency of the transmitted frequency would be less with a longer length. And there are ways to anticipate that and to adjust your purchase of a new length of antenna. If you're running a long length, then LMR 400, LMR 600 would be better because it's just heftier and it's a lower velocity factor also. Velocity factor comes into play when you are running long lengths, and I know perhaps we're talking about 70 feet here. That's a long length, and you will have an attenuation of the signal as it travels a longer length of wire, but the impedance stays the same.
KI4LCI, kind of like the repeater antenna on the machine. The antenna's up at 450 foot level on the big tire up there. You got to go all the way from the antenna at the 450 foot level all the way down to the little building there where the repeater's housed at.
You're right, and that's why hardline is used on towers like that. KK4JVQ.
So, I understand efficiency. Trust me, I got that figured out. And that's dependent upon the frequency that you're running or using. So, back to impedance. So if the transmission line has 50 ohms impedance generally, then where does the mismatch come into play? And what I mean by that is balanced and unbalanced. I am assuming that that's when you say balanced and unbalanced, is that the same thing as the mismatch that you're referencing?
Well, for Andy and anyone else who might be listening who aren't familiar with the details here, just let me recap. We're talking about a G5RV. Classically, Louis Varney, call sign G5RV, designed this antenna with a vertical 26, 27 foot length of window line. And this is open line, unlike coax. It begins at the feed point of the antenna, and that can be, you know, anywhere from 25 to 30 feet elevation to the feed point. You go all the way to the ground with ladder line. And that would be 450 ohms. And you run your 70 foot of coax, 50 ohms, out to a point underneath the antenna. And you have to connect those two. You have to insert a transformer, an impedance transformer, from your 50 foot coax to your 27 foot ladder line. So you have 450 ohms. To 50 ohms. That's the transfer take place. KK4JBQ.
KI4DOS.
KI4LCI.
Go ahead, Gary.
Andy, Chad. First off, let's back up a little bit. I don't care what coax is labeled as. It can be RG59, it can be RG50, it can be RG6, it can be RG75. Coax is only 75 ohms or 50 ohms if it is terminated in its characteristic impedance. The characteristic impedance of 50 ohm coax, if it is terminated in 50 ohms, is 50 ohm coax. If it's terminated in something else, it is not necessarily 50 ohms. I don't know why I said all that, but that's the way coax actually works. It's only whatever it is designated at if it is terminated in its characteristic impedance. Keep that in mind, because you can use other coax, and it worked just as well as 50-ohm coax. Larry was talking about a G5RV. That ladder line that comes down from the T portion at the top is part of that antenna. It does radiate. That's another thing. Don't forget that. The ladder line will radiate. And it does a good job of it as well. A G5RV is a pretty decent antenna. But you have to have a balun down at the bottom to convert it over to your coax feed line if that's the way you're going to feed it.
Right there. Let me make sure I got it. Characteristic impedance only if it's terminated. So you mean as in PO259 termination?
Fairly. If you run 50 ohm coax out and you bought an antenna, and it is supposedly 50 ohms. You put an ohm meter on there, I have never, ever, ever, ever seen a 50 ohm antenna. That's me personally. I'm not saying that there's not one out there. But at that point, that is 50 ohm coax, because it's terminated in 50 ohms. But that's the characteristic impedance of it. You can run RG6 instead of RG8. It will work just as well as RG6. You may have to, you may or you may not have to go in and tune your antenna a little differently. I don't know. I have used, what is that, I'll put that coax that the cable people use, RG75 or RG59, something like that. I've used that, and it works. The only reason I don't like it is because it has a solid center conductor, and if it's moved around a lot, it breaks.
Right. All right, so let me make sure I got this. Say, I am happy with my dipole. I am happy with it. But I am pursuing another antenna to learn this nasty word impedance, just to learn. If it pans out and I like it, I may leave it up. But just to learn, this is the kind of why I'm going through this whole process here. So let me make sure I got this right. So the transmission line going to the coax connector at the end of the G5RV ladder line is 50 ohms. The ladder line itself is 450 ohms. If I'm understanding what everybody is telling me, where that 50 ohm connects to the 450 ohm ladder line, that is a mismatch in impedance. Is that correct?
Correct. That's the reason you have to use a ballon down there at the bottom of it. I don't know if you use which ballon that they use on a G5RB. I do not know if it's a current ballon or a voltage ballon. And there's a little bit of difference in those as well.
For my next question.
CPQ, the question of whether it's voltage or current, it would be a current ballon, and you would build that. You can purchase them, of course, but you can build it yourself if you like. Put it in a little box. The ladder line is going to connect to the box differently than the coax, of course, but it's a transformer. You might call it an impedance transformer. And so that takes place right there at the bottom of the antenna, and your coax then acts like coax. So on to the next thing. KK4JBQ.
JR4LZI. The antenna I got up here that I'm using here on the 2 meters, I didn't exactly measure the resistance before I hooked the cable up on the antenna up here on 2 meters, and before I hooked it up here, I noticed RG8U foam coax is 50 ohms. I noticed 8900 on 2 meters is 50 ohms. Well, that vertical I got up out here for 2 meters, it's 50 ohms. So I can kind of assume all this here is 50 ohms, but there again, I'm not trying to use ladder line with it. It's nothing but coaxial cable, where with the G5RV, you're trying to use a mixture of all of them. Some people have had good results, and you know, some may have problems like the noise problem you have. KI4LCI.
Let me make sure I got it. That where the coax connects to the ladder line, something has to be done there. Which leads me to believe that in order for something to be done there, whatever needs to happen at that connection point, at some point, I am going to have to be able to measure what impedance the antenna is at, so I know what to build to put in between those two points. So my question is, can I measure that with an ohm meter? Because I think that maybe that impedance, even though it's expressed in ohms, am I thinking right that that is a different type of impedance? And here's why I'm asking that question. So, with my antenna analyzer that I use to analyze the antennas that I build, it does not give me an ohms reading. As a matter of fact, it does not even give me an impedance reading. It gives me two quadrants. It gives, which is impedance, and it gives me an R for resistance. I know this is going to get overly complicated here. I get it. But from what I'm reading in the ARRL antenna building book that I've got, is that those two numbers get, and it's going to sound, I mean, don't fuss because I'm getting overly complicated here. I'm just telling you what I'm reading. That those two numbers get multiplied by an imaginary variable, which is J. And that is how I determine how much impedance I have on the antenna. I'm trying to convey what I'm reading. I may be reading it incorrectly, or may not be understanding it right. So, if I can find a way to measure, that is my starting point. The way my mind works, I have to have a goal to go to or a number to go to. If I know what that number is, then I can back up and figure out what to do to get to that number. So I need some help trying to figure out how to actually measure the impedance without accepting what the manufacturer says the impedance is. It's not that I don't trust the manufacturer. Just in order for me to learn, and if I build my own, I don't have a manufacturer to tell me what that impedance is, so I've got to figure out a way to measure that. So, any ideas on how to measure that, and why am I seeing, if the answer is ohm meter, then why in the world are they giving me all these complicated numbers in this book? Why can't I just stick an ohm meter on the thing? But like I said, what I'm reading is not that simple, and I don't understand why that is. So let me stop there and get what everybody's got to say about that real quick.
ABQ. From what you say, I think there is confusion built in. And let me tell you why I say that. Impedance is measured in ohms. Resistance is measured in ohms. It's the same, we say it the same way, it doesn't mean the same thing. Resistance is ohmic resistance, the resistance of a piece of wire is measured in ohms. Impedance is different in as much as it's not actually resistance. It's actually reactance. It's complicated because they use the same terms. It's what's got mixed up in the conversation, at least the way you explained it. I think you need to separate the impedance of the transmission line, whether it be the ladder line or the coax, the characteristic impedance of these, the 450 ohms and 50 ohms, is impedance measured in ohms. But it's a reactance measurement. If you took a piece of wire a foot long and put the two probes of your ohmmeter on that piece of wire, it'll tell you the impedance in ohms of the wire. But they're two different things. I hate it when they do this, but have I made it understandable, Chad?
I don't mean that disrespectfully at all. So let me try to ask the question different. So, reactance. Okay, let me word it this way. So, I'm pretty good with an ohmmeter. Okay, I know how to measure resistance on a resistor and know what the numbers are in ohms. But the way I interpret what I'm reading in the ARRL book, and I gotta be honest with you, sometimes I feel like that the information that is in some of these books is written out to be complicated when it doesn't need to be. So I am interpreting what I'm reading is that impedance on an antenna is a combination of inductance, capacitance, which is reactance. Is that correct?
ABQ. Okay, maybe we can use mathematical symbols to help understand the difference. Reactance is a mathematically symbolized by the letter X. A lot of antenna analyzers will use X on the screen to indicate reactance. It is measured in ohms as a unit of measure. Resistance of a piece of wire is measured in ohms, and that's represented in mathematics with the R, a capital R. So if you're looking at ohms symbolized by X, that's reactance. If you're looking at ohms represented by R, it's resistance. They're using ohms in the same way because the function of it in the real world, it looks to be the same. One is capacitive reactance, and the other is pure resistance. KK4JBQ. It's inductive reactance. KK4JBQ.
There you is. Larry is correct there. Your inductance is mainly comes from a coil, whether it be a transformer or just a coil of wire, and there's a capacitance reactance between the spacing on the coil. if it's a transformer, you go from one side to the other, and then you have magnetic fields and all this other stuff involved in it. But Larry's pretty well correct, and they measure that in they use the symbol X for that, and it is measured in ohms. And I think they do that, Chad, just to be where they can figure it out mathematically. I don't know how else you would word that. It's something that you pretty much have to take their word for, unless you get into all the deep math, figuring out how many turns and how the length of the wire and the spacing of the coils and a lot of this other stuff that I haven't delved real deeply into, so I couldn't tell you how to go about trying to figure it out. But if you want to know how to build a balun, I can show you how to do that. That's no problem. I've wound a couple of those myself.
All right, I understand. All right, let me word it this way. And this is good. This is good, because it's going to be a snapping point here in a little bit. It's going to click, I hope. So, the way my mind processes things is that you're not going to be able to move me from the feed point from the end of the coax to the feed point. You're not going to be able to move me through that process, because I will not get it. If I have a number to go to, and help me figure out how to understand what that number is. In other words, is there something I can screw on the end of that feed point to tell me what my impedance is? And I know there is, because I've got one. I've got a nice analyzer, and I should be able to screw that on the end of that antenna, and that thing tell me what my impedance is. But I have looked through it I don't know how many times, and there is not a word that says impedance. Your impedance is. It will not tell me that. It tells me what my SWR is, but it will not give me what the impedance is. It will plot the impedance on a Smith chart, which I can interpret the Smith chart to know if it's high in inductance or it's high in capacitance, and I can add one of those or the other and move that impedance on the Smith chart. But that's really not going to help me. I just need to know how to measure it. Now, if that means that I plug the antenna analyzer to it, and it gives me an X and an R, if the number that I need to measure is X and R, then that's what it is. But there's got to be a way to take those two numbers and do some kind of magical hoodoo math and figure out what that impedance is. Am I thinking right?
Thank you. You have I think you have a rig expert. Antenna analyzer, those are very good, and I think most all antenna analyzers represent impedance with the capital letter Z, Zulu. That is Z, Zulu. So you may find that somewhere represented on the screen, and that is your impedance. But you have a length of ladder line there. you can count on it being around 450 ohms at the end. And you have a length of coax, and you can count that being about 50 ohms at the end. You want to connect those two. What you need is a transformer to go from one impedance to the next, and it'll travel right on through the wire, and your rig will like it when it gets to your, you know, to your radio. Gary, does that sound right to you? KK4JBQ.
Pretty well right there, Larry. Gosh, I'm trying to remember, Chad. It's been too many years ago. I was trying to remember Ohm's law for impedance. If I'm not mistaken, Z, which is impedance, which is measured in ohms, like Larry said, is the voltage divided by the current. And that voltage is in, electric motive force in volts, the EMF in volts. And I'm trying to pull this stuff out there. Larry Chad, it's been over 70 years since I've had this.
Don't quit now, because don't worry about that. I know, I understand. First of all, I understand that when you trying to help somebody like me, that you're putting yourself out there, and I'm not worried about. It's all right. What I'm trying to say is, look at it this way: if you're my boss man, and I work for you, and you come out one day and you tell me at the start of the day, I want a flagpole put right here by 6 o'clock at the end of the day. And I want Old Glory flying on it. I don't need you. This is going to sound disrespectful, and I'm not trying to be that way. What I'm saying is, tell me where to be, and I'll figure out the rest of it. So, I get that you experienced operators like yourself and Larry and anybody else listening, they just do. They know what to do. And I'm that way. Sometimes I just know what to do. I don't know how or why I know what to do. I just know to do. And it usually works out. It takes some trigger work to get things straightened out. And I realize that there is a way that, you know, a scientific mind can sit down and calculate this and figure out, okay, well, I need this size inductor or this size capacitor or this size transformer. I don't want to do that because my mind is not going to work that way. Here's what's going to happen. So let me just drop. This is going to sound crazy, but I'm just going to put it out there. So here's what's going to happen. Is that if I can figure out how to get a definitive number on that antenna, I don't care what the feed line is, I want to know what the whole impedance is on the antenna. And I'm going to go down to the junk pile, and I'm going to start pulling pieces and parts out of this and that, and I'm going to stick it in between that feed line, or at the end of that feed line, or somewhere in that antenna, and then I'm going to measure it. Let's say I take a piece of dirt and stick in the antenna, and then I take another measurement. Something's going to change. When that number changes, let's say the impedance goes up. Okay, well, I'm going to go get a shorter piece of dirt, and I'm going to put back in that spot, and I'm going to keep replacing what I think needs to go in that until I get the number that I need. I know that sounds horrible. I do. And I know Chris is in there listening to me tonight, and he's just laughing. But that's okay. That's the way it's going to have to be, because once I figure out a reference number, if I know where I'm at, and I stick something in it and see how it changes, then, well, okay, well, I'm too high. Let me try this size piece of dirt and see if I can bring it down. That's the way this is going to play out. And so, in other words, let me be clear. I don't necessarily need a complicated formula. I'm just trying to find a way to measure what I've got. And I know there's some components that I'm going to have to deal with. It's going to be a capacitor, it's going to be a resistor, or I'm going to have to make some kind of transformer. And that's okay. I just need to know how to measure it with the Rigmaster. And if that number is Z, then that's what it is. So is it Z, or do I have to do some math when I pull up the number on the screen?
Thank you. Chad, let me try to take a stab at this. I don't know, like Gary, if you don't do this all the time, you run the risk. Oh, here I am, put myself out there. You run the risk of saying something wrong. But I count on Gary. I count on the rest to correct me if I'm wrong. But you have 450 ohms at the end of the ladder line. You have 50 ohms on the coax. And you want to get those two to talk to one another. You want to get those two to marry up and give the radio what it needs. You're okay as far as the length of coax is concerned. The rig, the way they're designed, all of them, they expect to see 50 ohms impedance. So you're okay up to that point. And that point, the end of the coax, at the bottom of the antenna, is where you have to insert that impedance transformer. Or, for convenience, we call it a ballon. It does transform an unbalanced line, which is the coax, to the balanced line, which is the ladder line. It's just a way of referring to it. And it is a transformer. Like all transformers, you have a primary and a secondary winding. If you divide 450 ohms by 50, you'll get 9. So you want to have 9 times the impedance on that ladder line to 1 time, or the 50 ohms. So you want a 9-to-1 balance. Am I right so far? KK4JBQ.
All right, so let me make sure I got this. Here's what I'm trying to say, is that when I buy an antenna, that antenna is going to have some kind of sticker on it somewhere that says this antenna is so many ohms impedance. I have no other choice but to accept what they say the impedance is. And in this particular instance, with this G5RV that I've got, that scenario's okay. I know I've got a mismatch between 50 ohms coax and 450 ohm ladder line. But the next antenna that I build myself, I'm not going to be able to have someone tell me what the impedance is. I've got to find a way to measure it. And I know the rig master I've got will do that. I just am struggling with, okay, here we go. This is where I need, this way I need to word it. So, several months ago, I was struggling with the same issue. Let me let this drop. I sent Dave an email asking him about an impedance question. And he took a picture of one of his antenna analyzers, which was an MFJ, I think it was a 259 or something. It's got two dials on there. The left-hand gauge says SWR, and the right-hand gauge says impedance. Plain and simple. There is no math to do. There's your number right there, impedance. What I'm saying is that thinking, well, I'm not going to say that. Let me just say, with the Rigmaster, it's digital. There's no meter or gauge that tells me, Chad, this is the impedance on this antenna right here. Unless I'm not understanding what the numbers mean or the letter reference for impedance. If I can see... Okay, you understand what I'm saying there? Is the Rigmaster doesn't tell me the same thing that this on Dave's antenna meter, analyzer, the MFJ. I don't have a needle that tells me my impedance. When I do ask it to do an impedance measurement, X is this, your R is this. And what I'm asking is, what does that mean? What do I do with those two numbers? Because X and R is not a number I can work with. It's two numbers. If there is another number there that I'm not understanding, what do I need to look at to determine what my impedance is? Because I don't have a needle like Dave does. That's what I need. That's what I'm asking.
Carry on. If y'all are still in here later, I'll be back. KI4LZI. Got to go take in.
Okay, L4. K4JBQ, I'm sorry, was there another station that wanted to come in? Well, Chad, I see your quandary and I understand it. Let me first say that I have never used the analyzer that you're using. The number that the analyzer should offer you will be indicated as a Z number. Z equals such and such. And how you get to that would be a matter of studying your manual, I imagine. And it certainly should be able to take what it is observing and give you an impedance. How do you get that? Let's say, let me ask you a question. What type of connector is on your analyzer?
but it comes with a adapter for PL259.
So the characteristic impedance of an end connector is 50 ohms. And for some reason, the PL259 characteristic impedance is not 50 ohms. So whenever we pass a signal through coax that is terminated on either end by PL259, and we connect it to an SO239 to make our connection, there's a little bit of an impedance bump there, a little bit of impedance difference. It's not critical. But this occurs in all rigs, all radios that are sold in the United States of America. In Europe, it's different. It's either a end connector, characteristically 50 ohms, or a BNC connector, characteristically 50 ohms. There are advantages, disadvantages to all these things. So you have an end connector. Gracious. If it were me, I would get, if I just had to get this done, I would get an end connector to BNC connector adapter. And then I would also have to adapt that to go from BNC to a binding post. You're going to have bare wires for the ladder line. Bare wires. And you have to screw that down somehow to make a good solid connection. A binding post connector is the best thing for that. And the coax, you can use your PL259 adapter that came with your rig expert. But you need to somehow accommodate a binding post adapter. KK4JBQ.
All right, I'll go back and do some more digging in my books and see if I can figure out what they're saying as far as how to actually measure the impedance. But the important thing is that I don't want to sound frustrated here. I am frustrated because I want to get this settled in my mind, because it's like a toothache. It won't go away till I get it figured out. But I'm not sure that's going to happen for me tonight. But I will say this, that I did learn that where the transmission line hooks to the antenna, that is where I need, on the G5RV, that is where I need to control the amount of mismatch. That's a plus, because until this point, I didn't know that. I'm thinking, I heard Harry talking today sometime that he's got a new antenna, and you know, if you put a capacitor here in the antenna, it does this. If you put a capacitor there, it makes it do this. And I just was fascinated listening to him, but didn't understand any of it. So this is a starting point. It's good. I know that I'll have to figure this out and what to do at that connection point. It may take me a little bit of time, but there's got to be a way for me to measure what that is, so I know where to go to. Let this drop.